we sang on the hymn, to me the rest of faith, this great truth of the rest of faith, this great truth of rest, the rest of faith, has been going through my heart. And of course, I suppose the chapter to look at is Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, really, more particularly 4. Verse 1 of chapter 4, we're told that we're to fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. It's very easy to come short of this rest, beloved, because we're so content to rest in things in which we shouldn't rest. We're so content to, for instance, say in the beginning, be free of the guilt of sin, for instance. And we get a rest from that and that sort of thing. And we want to stop there. But the tremendous truth that the Lord wants us to understand is the word before rest in that verse, and you will notice whose rest it is. It's his rest. The rest of faith, beloved, is a very, very wonderful experience. And strangely enough, in this chapter that talks about rest, we're told in verse 11 that we're to labor to enter into that rest. Laboring to enter into rest seems almost to be contradictory. And yet it is so wonderfully true. Because lots and lots of people never really get into the rest of faith. I suppose that this is what one discovers more and more moving around. I suppose probably you've heard me say I've discovered lots of things around the country. But this is surely one of them. People who cannot rest at all don't know what this real rest is. You know what, beloved? When God talks about rest, he really means rest. And you know, this rest is a place where you do nothing at all. You don't even believe. Not consciously. You don't even consciously believe. You've passed into the rest of faith. And it's a glorious place to be in. And until you get there, you should keep on laboring, keep on going, till you do get there. This rest of faith, being God's rest, brings us ultimately to the place where we stop badgering God and calling it prayer.
Yeah.
Yes. But where we rest, in the place of complete knowledge. Now, there are ever so many things said about faith in the Bible. For instance, if you turn to the Roman letter, I know that the Hebrews letter is the classic on faith, especially the 11th chapter. At least it's got the chapter of classic things. But in this Romans 10, the famous verse that we sometimes turn to, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith can only come, beloved, as God speaks. And when God speaks, men and women have an opportunity to hear. And until God speaks, no one does. That's a tremendous thing. Hearing comes by the word of God being spoken. Everybody's quite deaf and dead until then. Of course, they may go along to church every Sunday and hear the Bible read, but that doesn't mean say they hear God speaking. God speaks directly and deliberately to men and women's hearts. And then they hear. And then when you hear, beloved, faith will come. Faith comes by hearing. What a wonderful thing that is. To hear God talking to your heart. Now, you mustn't in this instant get weird ideas about hearing voices talking to you. You know, you read a voice in verse in the Bible which says, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Well, all the voices I hear, they're all in front of me. That's old covenant. That's right. Don't turn to the right hand or the left. You hear these phrases in many so-called prophecies. They're taking up scriptural words and just adapting them. Don't turn to the right hand or the left. How many hundreds of times have you heard that purporting to be a word coming through in prophecy? It's based on that chapter. Familiarity with the Bible is not the breeding ground for prophetic utterances. Remember that the early church were not familiar with it. They were mostly heathen, but they prophesied. Keep that very well in your heart. And beloved, here then is the great truth that we hear God speaking to our hearts. We're all quite sure when God speaks. If you never are quite sure when God speaks, well, he hasn't spoken. When he speaks, beloved, we all know. We're all sort of quick and wide awake. It isn't always an audible voice that one hears or anything like that. But God speaks by many ways. He speaks to us in his Son. And we hear what God has to say. Now, faith comes to us, beloved. And when it comes, we are to believe God. We're to believe the thing that he says. And when we believe what he says, we are to receive what he says. In any way, it might be instruction that he's given us, well, receive it. It may be a commandment that he's given you, well, receive it. It may be a gift that he's offering you, well, receive it. That's a big thing. But that's not the rest of faith. You understand that? It's not the rest of faith. That is the work of faith. You remember in another one of those verses of Wesley's, we read, in me the work of faith fulfill. All right? There is a work of faith, beloved, that has to be fulfilled in your heart. And always be sure that when God is moving to make you, I was going to say, work the work of faith, that is, labor as you should in faith, remember that's not the end. You have to get through to a place where you come to the full assurance of faith, I'm using scriptural terms now, in your heart, and when you're there, you have received the objective of faith, and then you can rest. That's when you rest. And when you rest in faith, Beloved, you know that there's nothing else to be done, simply nothing. That's right. And until you know that, you can't rest. Nobody can rest when they think there's something else they've got to do. When you come to that place where you know there's nothing else to be done, that's when you rest. That's a wonderful thing. Now, when you get to this kind of rest, beloved, strangely enough, you find that everything goes on as it should, without you doing anything. Because you will know that this great rest is his rest. Well, if you turn back to Genesis, which you need not do, you may do it in your spare time, you will find that the Lord God created. He said it was good. Then he got to the place where he made man, and then he said it was very good, and then he rested, and everything went on as it should. That was the wonderful part about it. The sun didn't stop in his course in heaven because God rested. You see, the things didn't stop growing because God rested. You see, the birds didn't stop flying and the rivers didn't stop flowing. The sun didn't stop shining or anything like that, beloved. The earth didn't stop revolving upon its axis because God rested. You see? Now, when you get to this place of rest, it almost seems, although it is not so, that things just go on automatically then. There's nothing automatic in God. It all revolves around him. I say it seems automatically. And to use the theological term, God is immanent in his creation. He hasn't just made it and said, now carry on. He's in it, working it, all the time. That's a tremendous thing. And it's like this. God is in us working all the time. You see, this is the point. And our rest, our unrest, is only a proof of the fact that God hasn't yet got you through to the place where he can rest with you. You see? He keeps on. He has to keep on until he's got you through to the place where, you know, there's nothing else to do, Lord. Now, don't misunderstand me. There will always be ever so much to do. This is the tremendous thing. But you see, it's just a matter after that of, we're like Adam in the first place. He was put in the garden just to sort of supervise. He just looked round, walked round. That's right, you see. And it's like this. We're there with God. And God intends you and me to live like this, beloved. It takes people a long time to discover it. They're great laborers. They work and work and work and work. And we carry on as though so much depends upon us. When, beloved, all the time, everything depends on the faithfulness of our God. Now, this does not breed carelessness. Neither does it engender laziness. Amen. God put man in the garden to tend it. But it was all rest. There was no sin there. There were no thorns there. There were no weeds there. You didn't have to have a hose pipe to water the beans on a hot June night. For a mist went up and watered the garden, we're told, every night. This is it. Does the mist come up over your garden? Does the dew come down from heaven, or really rise from earth? Does it? Does it in you? Now, this is how God would have us, beloved. Praise God. You don't have to have a final whip round before you go to bed at night and pull out the weeds. That's called praying and having things straight before you go to bed or something like that. A lot of nonsense, that is. That's a lot of nonsense. I mean, as far as God's concerned, if I go to sleep at midday, what about that? That's a lot of silly nonsense. It must happen by 10 o'clock every night, sort of thing. Nay, beloved, our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. And listen, neither does your spirit. You understand that? Your body sleeps. And this is a tremendous thing for us to understand. What a glorious place this is, beloved, to be in this place of rest. Hallelujah. I enter into His rest. In other words, he said to me, I'm through with you. Praise God. It's done. It's done. You know, the last thing before he rested from Calvary, he said, it's finished. It's all done. It's all over. And then he slept. That's right.
Hallelujah.
This is the glory of it all, beloved. You see? Now, the tragedy is that so few people are resting in God's rest that they can't help anybody else because they're all taken up with themselves. They're fighting, they're always fighting through on their own levels. They've nothing concrete to give to others. Beloved, I would think that next to spreading love around, I would like to feel that I could spread rest everywhere. As a matter of fact, I don't believe you can spread rest everywhere until you can spread love.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's possible. I believe that to be able to love as God wants us to love is perfect rest in itself. For love, beloved, is this greatest issuing forth of the finalized work of God in a man or in a woman. That it can run out and be shed forth everywhere without an effort. People always know if you're having an effort to love them. Now I know that there are lots of people who come and say, I'm sure you must find it difficult to love me. That's only because they're of course and they don't understand and they're looking at their own hearts, you see. The great truth about it all, beloved, is that this great love of God is a very restful thing. You see? And you move in it in all sweetness. And you are to come to this great rest of faith, beloved. Are you in this rest of faith? The rest of it all. Are you? So that you won't have to go away from this meeting tonight, say, before you get to bed and say, oh Lord, that's where I want to be. Well, all right, if you do, if you're not there, labour till you enter in. Labour till you get there. Drop everything else, no matter whether you're building a house or digging a garden or painting a picture or what else you may be doing, stop it. And labour to enter into this. Don't labour even to get healed, if healing you're seeking. Labour to enter into rest. That's right. What is it that you are in need of in this world? Come to rest about it. Maybe you're needing a job. Well, if you can't get into rest about it, beloved, that's the first thing you should do. Before you get the job, get the rest. That's right. You see, the whole thing in the great plan of God, beloved, is absolutely simple. You don't do anything else but rest in Him. That's what you do. If you rest in Him, you're sure to have what He has, what He wants, and what He provides, if you rest in Him. If you don't, you will succeed in getting a very rough mixture. That's right. You will. You'll get a mixture. And you know, God hates mixture. He'd rather have you hot or cold. One of the two. He hates a mixed condition. He'd rather have you in wool or else in linen, according to the Old Testament. He wouldn't have a mixed. He won't have you use an ox and an ass for ploughing. He won't have you sow your seed field with mixed seed. God hates mixtures. That's right. He's always been against mixtures. He's written these things into laws in nature and in into everything else. You see? And we're not to be in any mixed condition about this, beloved. Praise God. If you follow through the pattern of the idol in the great dream of Nebuchadnezzar, it's in the mixture in the feet, the iron and the clay, where the great breakage comes. That's where the smash up comes, where the mixture is, of the iron and the clay, not in the silver or the gold or the bronze, but there. And it's always here. This is where the breakdown comes in everything. Doesn't matter how valuable you may have built up something, if you're standing in mixture, beloved, down you'll come. Praise God for that. And you are to enter entirely into God's rest. You are not the Christian that God wants you to be until you are there. Now, when you are there, I'll tell you this, you will find it impossible to carry on in the old way. His rest is His rest. God can't possibly get panicky and worried about the things that you're getting panicky and worried about. God can't possibly be laboring to do this, that, or the other. He's resting. This is the secret. In one sublime moment, you can enter into rest. God open all our eyes to see this thing. So that you couldn't worry anymore. Now I meet people, they can't rest. They're always searching their Bibles to get a verse, for instance. Every morning they're up. They read all their daily portions and they're about to get the verse for today. Well, beloved, I never do that. God doesn't do it. You're not going to tell me that God's searching the Bible and what Watchman Nee writes every morning, as good as Watchman Nee is, to find something to rest in. It's His rest. Do you see it? It's His rest. Have you got it? It's His rest. Rest. People can't rest. Well, I find some people, they never enjoy a holiday because they can't rest. After about a day or two, well, I can enjoy holidays, I can rest all right. As a matter of fact, I know how to do nothing when I'm on holiday. My good wife has a job sometimes, get me to go out walking. She says, you ought to walk, it's good for you, dear. Of course, she's right, she's a good wife. But I know how to rest. See, you've got to know to rest. Learn to do nothing. That's the biggest lesson for people to learn. So, I can't do anything, I'm weak. You and your sort of thing, me and mine, I and mine sort of thing. It's a lot of nonsense, people that say that most people aren't there. You've got to learn that it's all right. Hallelujah. This is the thing that suddenly dawns on the heart. Praise God. In the most adverse circumstances, in the most contradictory things, when it seems that everything is disproving you, everything's fine. God will take you that way, and he'll persist in taking you that way until you've learned it. And he'll insist in keeping you there until at last you honor God by resting. Oh, hallelujah. When you don't have to say your prayers, and you don't have to read your Bible, and you don't have to do this, and you don't have to do that, and you don't have to do anything. Say, well, don't you read your Bible and say your prayers? I read my Bible, but I don't say prayers. I pray. That's a 24-hour-a-day job, when you're ready to pray. Praying is learning how to move in the will of God all the day long. As Jesus, let's come back to the famous chapter that we love so much, and we've already, you needn't turn it up, I'll quote it to you tonight. The incident of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. How sweetly Jesus just said, well, Father, I just said it because of these others. So and so. He was just resting. You see, he was completely resting, wasn't he? That's all he was. He was absolutely at rest. Praise God. And I want to tell you, beloved, that this in the end is the secret of all work for God. Rest. This is why there isn't a lot of work being done for Jesus, because there's so little rest. Everybody's so busy getting out of rest. Working themselves up to get ready for work and all this kind of business instead of resting sweetly. It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Instead of resting and knowing that as surely as the sun's gone down in the west tonight, it will rise in the east in the morning. That is, providing the Lord doesn't come for us. You see? And it doesn't wind up this age. Just as sweetly as that, my beloved, if you could rest as sweetly as Adam and Eve rested in the garden. And our rest is greater than that. For that was a rest that he provided. But this is his own rest. Sin can't do anything. Devil can't do anything about it. Adverse circumstances, success or failure, can't do anything about it. Sickness or health. And nothing, not his rest, can it? Alas, alas, most of us are taught to be busybodies instead of prayers. For most of our prayers, or in lots of places, perhaps I better qualify that a bit, it's only the result of being a busybody. You see? Instead of entering into a quiet, restful walk of full assurance of faith with God. Father, I know. That's the acme in the prayer life. Father, I know. Amen. God's got nothing else to do then but do it. And it's wonderful. So then, you labour to enter into this rest. And then you just go on resting. All the time. For, I want to assure you, there remaineth a rest for people, because there's a lot more rest remaining beyond the rest you've got. So we which have believed do all the time continue to enter into rest. All the time. You go from rest to rest. rest to rest. In other words, beloved, as you go on with the Lord, this should be one of the great things that mark you out. You become more and more restful. Even things that you once used to be concerned in, they cease. That's right. They all drop off. Hallelujah. It's all rest. And you become imperturbable. Nobody can upset you or bring you out of your rest as you go on. Not that you aren't concerned about other things, but you've learned how to immediately translate it into Father. You're made a being that translates it. And this is the way that it doesn't disturb your rest, you see. And God does this in the life, and then everything is quiet. You see? That's how you go on with God. And you will find, as you go on, that things at the beginning that used to cause you great concerns won't anymore. Things that once used to knock you down on your knees, you'll be able to take walking. That's right, Jesus took it walking. Father, I know. Father, I know. That's his rest. You'll be able to take sleeping what some people take in a great fluster. Say, what do you mean? Well, take Jesus in the storm on the lake. He took it sleeping. His rest. He just slept on the pillow. All the apostles were staggering about all over the place. They had to learn to enter into his rest. You see? You'll be able to take it sleeping. Some people will stay up all night, banging about, saying, we've had to pray this thing through, see? And they didn't. You had to come in the end and say, peace be still, you see? They say, well, you were the answer to our prayers. We stayed up all night. Do you see? Well, that's fine. All right, let them. We have to learn. Don't you stay up all night? Very rarely. I did the other night. I was sick and bad. But here's the thing. To learn to rest. Oh, beloved, I beseech you, in the Lord's name, to come to rest. His rest. And I'll tell you what, this will be a criterion in your life. If you can't rest about it, it's either because you're wrong or that God doesn't intend to do it. That's right. It's either because you're trying to get God to do something he's not going to do, in which case you're wrong, in any way case, but or it's because you've got entirely the wrong approach to everything. God's rest is a precursor of righteousness in your life. It is a result of you coming to righteousness, but it is a foreshadowing of the fact that he's going to lead you on into righteousness, more and more of it. You just rest. Sweet. You'll get disturbed in your spirit if a thing's going to be wrong. Do you see? You'll get a sort of inward knowledge. You'll get a sense of things for which you won't require a lot of gifts called discernment or anything like that. It's just that you'll know. God wants to bring us into this glorious place, beloved, where we just rest. I'm afraid there's no other word I can use. You've got to say rest, haven't you? You can't say anything else. In him. The rest of faith. Hallelujah. There are times, of course, when faith has to be very active. There are times when faith is completely restful. Growth in the things of the Spirit determines a lot in this realm. So go on and grow. Move and go on to perfection, as Paul, or the writer of the Hebrews anyway, says a little later, so that you may know the wonders and fullness of it all, beloved. Rest in the bosom of the Lord, so that his Spirit just interprets things to your heart, is the great secret of knowledge and understanding in the things of our faith. Well, I think I'm going to stop there. As I say, this has been sort of seeded into my heart since we sang that hymn. And may the Lord lead us all on into it in all its fullness. For it's there for us, beloved. It remaineth. In the wonderful thing, it remains. What do you mean, remain? Well, you do know, of course, that the devil tried to destroy it, don't you? Who was trying to destroy the rest of Jesus Christ on the storm of the lake? The devil. Who was trying to disturb the rest of Jesus' faith in John chapter 11? The devil. But he couldn't. You see, this rest has been right out in the fire. It's been tried under all circumstances. Yeah. It's Lord, met the onslaught of the devil and overcome it. Yes, and the devil couldn't panic him. And the devil couldn't do anything. And this is the rest you're invited to have. It's a finished thing. We grow in it. Amen. Hallelujah. So shall the Lord take us on into all its fullness, I believe. Amen.